Dieter and Hutch on a Friday previewing 49ers and Cowboys. And my goodness. This is exactly what the doctor ordered for San Francisco. In a vacuum, you'd look at the Niners and say it's all gone to hell in a handbasket. And here come the Dallas Cowboys saying, actually, we're even messier, Jake.
Yeah, the Cowboys are bad. Cowboys are really, really bad.
Yeah.
I
there doesn't need to actually be deeper analysis than that. No. Just because they have a big brand name, like, this is one of the worst teams I've seen all year.
Yeah. And so, like, you could look at the Cowboys and be like, don't they have all these? I actually don't. All their like key players on defense are out or not likely to play. You've got DeMarcus Lawrence, who I believe is on IR. He's not playing. Micah Parsons is not looking like he's going to play. Deron Bland and Eric Kendricks. Apparently, they practice on Saturdays. People are like, they have to practice tomorrow to play. It's like, what?
You should probably be on a plane, young man.
That's a separate issue. But those guys, if they're going to play, they're not like in great shape. Bland doesn't sound optimistic. And so you've got the guys who are playing basically before the bye. And this defense just looks horrific. Mm-hmm. And this offense, I mean, listen, I'm not even a huge fan of Dak Prescott, but like, there are not many options for him to throw the ball. No. Their rookie left tackle is getting cooked.
Yes.
We can get in more specific, but it's just a bad, bad team that doesn't seem to have schematic answers. And while teams throw a lot of like press and stuff in the Niners, I don't think Dallas is the personnel to pull that off.
No, they're totally built to play zone and to try to mix coverage on the back end, but they don't have the personnel to do that at an effective level right now. Their linebackers have been in the past mitigated by scheme and blitzing and stuff. You have Mike Zimmer now as their defensive coordinator. You know, he loves to do the A-gap stuff. You can't do that with these backups. I mean, it legitimately, the biggest challenge this week in looking through Dallas Cowboys stuff has been one, suffering through film, like legitimately watching it and being like, oh my God, these guys are awful. Like, it makes you feel bad that this is the most popular team in all football.
Yeah.
Like, how these people reevaluate your life. This is Jets level bad. In fact, I'd rather be the Jets right now. And then the second part is figuring out who the fuck all these people are. Like, they also are operating on just Scrubs roster. At least the Niners, like, have some stars.
Also, like, I honestly meant to ask Chris Foerster about it, but they've got like two linebackers wearing number 13 and number 18. We need to do something about the numerology.
I told you that last week. I told you that. I want to go full conservative. I think we need to get back to 40s and 50s for linebackers. Sorry. You had your moment.
It's terrible.
Running backs,
and they look like safeties too.
20s and 30s. Luckily, the NFL hasn't gotten to the point quite yet where we have single digit interior defensive linemen, but it feels somewhat inevitable. I feel like someone's going to get fat on purpose so that they can be the first, like, number nine on the interior. Because you look at college teams and they're like, oh, number zero, who weighs 400 pounds, is in the middle. And it's wrong. It's wrong.
I honestly love it. I do think defensive tackle should be able to wear double zero, which I think is awesome, or like 100. You should get to go triple digits if you're a defensive tackle.
If you're over 300, you get to wear three digits. Fill out the frame. Yeah. That is not what we're here to discuss, though I'm sure we could continue to discuss it.
But that's where our minds are going because of how ugly these teams look.
Now, let's be clear here. It's not as if the 49ers are in any better of a situation. They're just in a slightly better situation. I should have been very clear. This team makes the 49ers look competent. And on Sunday and Tuesday, our shows were just us being like, this is a legitimately bad team. Luckily, we've been recalibrated because of the Dallas Cowboys. This line is being bet down. It was 5.5. It's being bet down to 3.5 right now. I would take it to 9, 10, 11. This thing feels
3.5.
It's 3.5 now. The sharps are all over Dallas because, listen, they're watching the same film, right? And sharps are all about offensive line play and defense. Like, they're all about that kind of stuff. And I can see where the concern would be. Here's another concern. The 49ers' most healthy wide receiver is coming off a gunshot wound. That's the healthy one. Like, Brock Purdy is going to have the game of his life because of narrative and situation and the must-win nature of all of this. And his healthiest wide receiver is Ricky Pearsall. Arguably, yeah. Maybe Deebo Samuel get the lung or the fluids out of his lungs. Well,
yeah, he's not. Yeah, I mean, Chris Conley has an ankle sprain. Deebo's coming off pneumonia. It doesn't sound. I would be shocked if Juwan Jennings plays at this point.
He hasn't practiced.
And then even Jacob Cowan had, I think, an ankle or something earlier in the season.
Heaven forbid.
So, and then
I guess Ronnie Bell's healthy.
Yeah, Ronnie Bell's healthy.
So usually we'll tell you a good George Kittle game. It kind of has to be a good George Kittle game, but he's got a foot thing. He's going to play, but he has a foot thing. So you don't know what he's at, but there should just be wide open spaces in both the pass game and the run game. It's a question really of which one Dallas wants to try to mitigate. And I'm not sure if they can, but they're going to have to just commit to one or the other with human bodies, because that's the only way they can possibly stop anybody is over
Dallas folks. Let's get into 49ers offense, Dallas defense.
Okay.
Cowboys are dead last in rush EPA. EPA is like expected points added per play. And they are dead last in rush defense at like +0.19. EPA per play. Second is like 0.11. So it's like a monstrous gap between them and the second worst defense.
There's bad, and then there's a big pile of shit, and then there's the Cowboys.
And teams are running outside the tackles on the Cowboys 65.6% of the time, which is number one in the NFL. That is like exactly what the 49ers want to hear. Yeah. Stretch zone, outside zone. Like, you're just going to be able to do what you want to do because they haven't shown they're capable of stopping it. They don't have the personnel, and their corners are not good tacklers. Like, dude, I mean, everyone talked up Trayvon Diggs, who, like, we both saw is not a good corner his rookie year. He just was hyper aggressive and had a lot of interceptions, but he just can't tackle and gets beaten coverage a ton. This is the Saints running a Yankee concept, which is what the 49ers love to run.
If they want to go under center, to be fair.
It's play action, crosser, and then you have one guy just running a deep clear out route to take the safety after it. And so you've got acres of space. And then this is what the 49ers are going to run. And Dallas bites on play action really hard. They just don't have the personnel to cover. And I just have a hard time seeing them stopping what the 49ers do, as long as the 49ers keep it simple. And honestly, with the personnel they have, I have a hard time thinking the 49ers are going to do anything other than be very simple and just go, you know, basic with kind of like what they did when they played Seattle, and they went simple and they stretch run outside and play action off of it.
Right.
And
that worked great. That was their best offensive game of the season. This is full commit eight. And cover three behind. Yankee concept. I mean, this is easy money if you get protection. And say what you will about the Saints, like, I mean, no one's even close to Derek Carr on this throw. By the way, you also have Alvin Kamara wide open coming across the middle right here. You have the guy in the flat right here if you need it. I mean, the clear out guy is in fact double covered. I would not try to split that gap, though I've seen Brock do it before. And on a flip of this play.
And I also saw Carr do it to Shaheed. Because their safeties are mediocre at best.
Now, I don't think the Niners have the wide receiver personnel to exploit that, but they certainly have the wide receiver personnel to exploit that. I don't know what 57 is doing here, but he's not providing any value to the defense. That's
Kendricks.
Yeah.
And, or maybe it's Liu Fow.
It doesn't matter. They're all bad. And this is horrendous. And if this ball is placed actually on the money, for I presume this is Olave.
It's Olave. Yep.
If this ball is placed on the money and not to the point where Olave has to jump to catch it in the middle of the field, it's a touchdown because there's no way the safeties are getting over. It's pretty much par for the course with this defense.
Listen, man, it's this defense just like shows it's exploitable in every single way, and it doesn't have to be complicated. And I talked to Conley and Ricky Pearsall this week. By the way, when we were talking about man coverage, I asked Ricky, I was like, how did you feel like, you were coming off? And he's like, I don't know about you, but if you watch film, I was getting off the line of scrimmage. Yeah. I was separating.
Then I got real tired real fast.
Right. And he was. And he was, genuinely. But, like, I also asked him about, there was a Yankee concept play where we talked about it, and he got chipped by Connor because he stemmed it inside too far. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, a perfect thing where he's, like, learning. He's like, yeah, I stemmed that inside too far, and I got hit, especially with, like, tight splits. It's going to be tight. But, like, having one game under his belt and having faced the best man coverage team they'll play all year, I just don't. I fundamentally, like, Jordan Lewis is an okay corner for Dallas. He's pretty decent. Yeah, I think he's their slot corner for the most part. He's been pretty good. I guess they throw Diggs in the slot too. Jordan Lewis is solid. Diggs is not. Their other corner, Amani, I'm going to butcher his last name. I'm not even going to try it. Oruwariye, I think. He's not very good either. And I just don't think those guys can really fundamentally play press against Pearsall. I even think Conley was decent against press. Like, again, best press man team you're probably going to see. I think Conley was pretty decent. He's going to have a chance this week. And then Debo, like, I just think this is a game where even if you get 20, 30 snaps out of Debo, he's going to have some free releases and some really easy catches in this game. And I just don't think Dallas has the personnel to stop it. They're really susceptible against play action. They bite on everything.
Yeah, it's to the point. I think we need to be pretty clear about this. If the Niners cannot move the ball at a very high, very chunky clip against these Dallas Cowboys, just call it.
Yeah, I mean, genuinely, if they lose this game, I refuse to take this team seriously. I know they can get McCaffrey back.
No, forget it. Like, it's over. It's over.
Dallas team is bad.
You don't really get bad to lose back-to-back games twice in the first half of the season and be taken seriously. Sorry,
right.
Can't do it.
Right, and I know you got new personnel in there.
I don't care.
But all those guys, I think, are good enough. And Cowing, honestly, I'm interested to see if Cowing outsnaps Ronnie Bell.
Yeah.
Because it was 2-1, 24 snaps for Bell, 12 for Cowing. And I just think, based on what you see, that has to be at least flipped.
Cowing was good. Now, how much of that is the basis of the game was kind of over by then? Hard to say, but it was a good sluggo route for him. He had a big catch. Clearly, he's someone who can play outside the numbers, stretch the field. The Niners need that. They need that against every team. And this is a easy entry point for Jacob Cowing to be a more regular part of this offense. If you're going to slide as it currently stands, because I do think Jennings probably takes the X receiver role in majority moving forward whenever he gets healthy. But if you're going to put Pearsall in there, and then you need to have Cowing as a viable option as the fourth receiver, you need to have a fourth receiver. And that's something the Niners have not had all season. They've been trying Bell. They tried Conley. He can't stay on the field enough. It probably is okay. But also Conley has to be an outside guy. You don't want him in the slot. So I think that there's real possibilities here. I'm not as bearish on the Niners wide receivers as going into this game as I would have been if they were to have played immediately after the Chiefs game, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I do think a big factor that is underrepresented in the conversation about that Chiefs game is they thought they had Debo. And it's not to say that Debo would have done anything. I think we're both in agreement that Debo probably wouldn't have done anything. But Pearsall was expected to get, from as far as I can tell, 10 to 15 snaps, good situations. Hey, you're going to come in on third downs. We'll put you at Z every now and again to give Debo a breather when we think we're getting a lot of man-to-man. And instead, it's like, I hope you can play the entire game, because not only is Debo not playing now, and not only is Jennings not playing now, but also Brandon Ayuk tears his ACL before the end of the first half.
Yeah, and I talked to Conley, and Conley, in training camp, we're like, you're an X receiver. He's like, in training camp I was. He's like, for the past 7 weeks, I have not had one snap at X. Like, he was not complaining about it. He was just putting it point of fact. Like, he's a guy that has to know everywhere, but he didn't play a single X snap. Like Pearsall, I think he was mostly at Z in camp, a little bit at X. Like, they moved him around, but it's not like he's played at all these different positions. He doesn't know the nuances of all these routes. All these guys had to be thrown in different spots. now at least like with a week of knowing where they're going to be and at least being like, okay, we might not have Debo. Let's prepare. Maybe like we don't, or at least like he's going to be limited.
Yeah.
I think they can come up with a slightly
better plan. Yeah. It's just, okay, how different was the plan than what Kyle puts into play? And we've talked all the time about Kyle being an ideologue. Well, stuff like injuries, or I mean, I guess that's an injury in his case, sickness, illness, really throws him off his game. So the Niners should be able to move the ball. I'm in on Brock Purdy over 237 and a half passing yards in this game. I think that you have a very good argument if you wanted to play Jordan Mason in some sort of a betting capacity. It's just a question of where Mike Zimmer, who is a good coordinator, at least he has the track record of being a good coordinator. He does not have personnel on his side. It's just a question of where he wants to commit eight bodies. And I presume they'll try to do that in the run game.
Teams always do that. They try and stack the box against the Niners because you have to. I think they have the highest stack box percentage in the league, or at least they're up there.
But it should also be noted that, you know, Jordan Mason first half against the Chiefs had like 5 yards. Right. So it can work. Now, that's a very different defense. Yeah. First half, Jordan Mason. I'm sorry. I had it inverted. He had 5 attempts for 3 yards, 0.6 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So it's not as if you can't get the 49ers run game. It did open up a little bit in the second half. They were starting to move guys on the interior, a little bit more interior zone, a little bit more power runs. And they were able to push a little bit on Kansas City. It was too little too late, it proved, because of the passing game. But the 49ers' most direct route and the way that they would want to go, especially with their receiver situation, is we're just going to run it for 200 yards. They want the Seattle game plan, right? And or the New York Jets game plan. Those are the two best offensive games they've had. So if you're Dallas and you're saying we're going to get gashed somewhere, make Ricky Pearsall beat you, make Jacob Cowing beat you, make Chris Conley beat you. I imagine there's going to be 8-9 in the box frequently. It opens up play action to be sure, but it will also give a lot of one-on-one opportunities, typically against zone coverage, to the Niners wide receivers. And ironically, those are receivers that are actually pretty good against man, and we don't know what they look like against zone. But I'm going to bet on Pearsall and Cowing, the two rookies, to look really nice as well.
I think there's going to be a little bit of Conley too, but I'm with you. I feel extremely confident. If they don't have stupid turnovers, which again, Brock had some bad ones.
Very
again,
real possibility.
It's Spagnuolo. It was Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense. And I just feel like going from that to this is going to be like, you don't even need another comp. It's just going from the Chiefs defense to the Cowboys defense.
It's built in at this point. The flip side of it is that you would say, well, the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, CD Lamb. Well, I have to kind of stop there because they don't have
a running back. It's Rico Dowdle,
who you kind of like as a scat back, but
and then the ghost of Ezekiel Elliott. Like, they're having to run stuff with like CD Lamb as a running back. Yeah. And then, and so they try and feed everything through CD to the point where Dak often misses Tolbert.
You can see CD over here. They put him in the slot, which, you know, bad news for the Cowboys. That plays directly into arguably the one solid spot on the entire 49ers defense, which is D'Amador Lenore.
100%.
And middle of the field, at least there's some congestion because I don't imagine Devondre Campbell's going to be moving that much. At least he's just standing there. Like, it's not a bad place to be a traffic cone, middle of the field with CeeDee Lamb. You can't run. They don't run the ball. They don't even bother running the ball. They have one good receiver, not to take away from Tolbert or some of the depth guys, but like, they're not people you have to scheme around. They have two average tight ends in Ferguson and Shoemaker who are fine enough players, but you can already see here on this rep that you have against the Steelers, is that Shoemaker or Ferguson? Doesn't matter.
That's Ferguson.
Ferguson. They don't even have him in line. By the way, that's TJ Watt. So they're sacrificing directly. They have two tackles that are bad. Guyton is young.
Yeah. Did you hear Nick Bosa's quote?
No.
He was basically, Bosa was like, yeah, I think they're going to try and run it more because, I mean, they have to try something different.
Jesus Christ, Nick. But you go across. We both really liked Cooper Beebe coming out of Kansas State. We liked him as a guard. Certainly showed possibilities at center.
He's learning.
He's learning. That's for sure. 73 is a mess on this one. What's his name again? Sorry. That's
Trey Smith.
That's
I think
Tyler Smith.
Tyler Smith. Sorry, not Trey Smith. No. Tyler Smith. He's not bad.
No, he's not bad.
Zach Martin's a legend.
Zach Martin's a legend. He's running on reputation right now. I'm sorry. Sure. From what I watched, he's getting wrecked. And Guyton 60 is a tough scene right now.
Yeah. So that's
a tough scene too. On the
that's what this rep is. That's what I. There were like back to back reps of number 60. We're watching, for those of you listening, we're watching number 60, the left tackle for the Dallas Cowboys, Tyler Guyton, who's a guy that was on our radar and some others, and there's a lot of split opinion on him.
He was very raw out of university.
I think he is a guy who can absolutely become a good player, but he barely played at Oklahoma and just has such little experience. He clearly doesn't know what the call is here. And Smith is trying to tell him, and he's literally asking multiple times. He's like, which way do I go? And he doesn't know. And you're going to watch Nick Herbig just beat him so clean.
I'd like to remind you, who is that again? Who's beating him off the line so easily and so cleanly?
Nick Herbig.
Oh, right. Okay. So not TJ Watt.
No, that's correct.
Nick Herbig.
There are multiple snaps like this where it's just really easy for whoever it is, and then whop, right by him. He
could have been a flag. He tripped him.
Yeah, and there's another play like this where it's just incredibly easy. And I have two defensive bold predictions for the 49ers in this game.
Wonderful.
My first prediction is that Nick Bosa will have 3 sacks in this game.
3.
I know that sounds pretty wild, and I know Bosa has kind of struggled. Oh, it's another one with Guyton.
This is another Guyton one. Again, this is against the other side. This is
right. This is not against TJ Watt. This is against Nick Herbig. And oh, once again, opens. Look at how wide he opens himself up.
It's unbelievable. This rep.
He just he steps outside for. Oh,
what is
oh,
that?
Just
then he tries to get hands on him, completely fails. By the way, there's 2 other bodies directly in Dak Prescott's grill. Was there even a receiver over here when he threw the ball? That's intentional.
No, this was intentional grounding.
So this is going great, is what I'm saying. But you know, listen.
Oh, and then he gets.
Let's be very clear. The 49ers defense at this juncture, not the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is
true.
Very fair. But
that said,
there's no offense that's being run here. This is this is backyard football, and they don't have Patrick Mahomes. I liked it. I think Dak Prescott is just like the definition of average. You can't do any better. You can do a lot better than him, but you can't. You can't possibly test the market to find out.
And he's not mobile. This is the perfect quarterback for Bosa to get a sack. I genuinely do believe Bosa will have like 3 sacks. And I know that's a wild prediction, but if he gets on Guyton, I would be stunned. I would be actually shocked if he didn't come away with at minimum 1. I just think that matchup is so exploitable. And Bosa loves guys that are tall and long. Because he's got a low center of gravity and he can beat him.
And then also,
I just think there's going to be a situation. There's a couple times where the routes just are run at the wrong depth and players like almost run into each other. I think Fred Warner, or one of these linebackers, is going to have a pick because Dak is under pressure. He doesn't trust what he sees. And he sometimes, you know, even when he reads it right, he just can panic and he can't trust his line.
It's almost impossible to run an offense when let's just go across the line here. Your left tackle is just getting smoked. Okay. He can't do it. It's benchable stuff, but you have to let him learn on the fly. Your left
also
guard
not getting
here,
help from his left guard. Who's
just standing there. Oh, and by the way, standing there and then turns around so that here comes Cam Hayward right around his back that he can put a helmet right into Dak Prescott's chest. BB has a good rep here. Martin has a good rep here. They don't block Watt off the outside, but you know, legitimately say what you will about Ezekiel Elliott, very good pass protector, which is why he's there. He needs to be because he just does a chip block here. Doesn't even take Watt down. Of course, Watt's right up in his grill. So it's Hayward and Watt and 51. And it doesn't matter what you're running behind this because you don't have good receivers outside of CeeDee Lamb, who, of course, is just running a drag route across the
middle. He also loafs it sometimes because he's
totally
just he doesn't want to get over
hit.
It.
He does not like getting hit. He's got the Kyler Murray in him. There's just nothing here. And so this is a good referendum game on Nick Sorensen because
agreed.
There's no reason why the 49ers should give up more than a touchdown or two in this game. There really isn't.
I'm with you.
There's every reason to believe they should put three or four on the board. They've blown out the Cowboys the last time they played. I see no reason, even with all of the issues going on with the Niners right now, to think that with the coaching that they have and the talent that's still available, you still have Bosa, you still have Warner, you still have Lenore. I do think that he needs to be included in that conversation. You still have Collins, who is not part of that triumvirate, but still, he gives you something for sure. You don't have to worry about the run game, right? Where are the Niners susceptible? Well, we have to protect against the run because we can't stop the run. Don't have to worry about that here. You don't have to worry about that here. So you can get creative. You can stunt. And we saw in the Kansas City game, there was some interesting stuff. Chris Kucerik and Sorensen drawing up some interesting games up front. So this is a good referendum. If they can't make Dallas look inept on the offensive side of the ball, then that means they're inept because they are more talented and they're still a mess.
There's one X factor, Dieter. Do you know what it is?
Would that be the specialist of teams?
That would be the specialist of teams.
You're talking
Dieter.
Bones fossil right now?
We are talking bones fossil because the Cowboys are the number one, arguably the number one special teams unit in the league. Number one in average kickoff return distance, averaging 34.2 yards on kickoff returns.
Kevontae Turpin is a very good returner.
Yeah, and they did one last week where they faked like they were going to do a reverse. Mm-hmm. And Turpin went to basically pretend to pitch it up in the air and then kept it and took it, I think, 79 yards.
Yeah.
The offense, of course, despite that, came up empty, and they had to kick a field goal with Brandon Aubrey, who, what's up with Brandon Aubrey, Dieter?
He's on jury duty and not just showing up. I mean,
yeah, felony case.
He's literally, I think he's on like a felony murder case, and as if there's any other kind of murder. And this is not a reality TV show. He's not the one who's not in on the bit. It's so funny because his story is he was just sitting on the couch and his wife's like, you could do that. And then he goes out and now he's the best kicker in the NFL. Well, I guess he never fully shed the I'm just a guy thing because they're like, no, you have to serve on this jury. It's like, what? I play for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm their best player. And I was like, okay, sure. There's no way that's actually the kicker for the Cowboys. You and I can get out of jury duty by being like, football is our job. And they'd be like,
right.
Oh, these guys aren't sane. Clearly they're deep sickos. We can't have them on a jury. Meanwhile, the kicker for the Cowboys. And I'll say this, if it was a 1 o'clock game out here, I don't think it would be that big of an issue. I think that they're going to try to have him play, but it's a 5 o'clock game. They're going to be on a plane at like 9:30, 10 flying back to Dallas. They're not going to get in until 3-4 AM. And then he's got to be at jury duty at like 8:30 on Monday morning.
Yeah. He's at jury duty today, but he's going to travel to San Francisco Saturday. And he said,
how is this not the only story in football?
There's a joking quote about him kicking at night because he has to kick after jury duty.
He's kicking at night with the daughter of the
dean. So he's going to play.
Mitch Kupstein, good guy.
Would have been really funny if this was like a Monday night football game and he had jury duty and they tried to fly him out after jury duty.
Can't do it. Or, you don't get sequestered in time. It's a whole, it's incredible. You would think that this would not be something. You'd think that the Dallas Cowboys would have some pull in, I don't know, the Frisco County or whatever.
It's also funny that they're allowing, like, that the county is, like, allowing him to, like, you know,
little high profile for the jury, huh? The fact that we're talking about it in the Bay Area, a little high profile.
Right, to, like, put him on the case and then allow him to go to a game where he could be interviewed by any number of reporters or, like, reveal something about the case. Like, is that not a problem?
Hutch, we're going into the locker room after the game and asking him specifics about the case. We're going to be the biggest dicks on the planet. Can you speak to the case?
Can you speak to the nature of what is the killer's character? Sorry.
Alleged killers.
Alleged. My bad.
The defendants.
But yeah, so
that said, if he does kick a field goal, I'm definitely going to say in the press box, to the groans of many, the defense rests. Thank you. Thank you.
And the crowd goes mild.
I mean, if I don't get booed,
love that. I honestly, there's no more sweeter joy than saying something that you know people are going to hate and going, oh, this fuels me, your hatred.
If you know it's coming, it's so great. It's better than applause.
It's incredible. Just to loop back on the special
teams. Do you think that the Cowboys are like, who else can we get on jury? Can we get Ezekiel Elliott on jury duty so that we don't have to do this anymore? Tyler Guyton. Oh no, you have to serve. That's terrible.
But you don't even. They don't
this
even.
Is
have
why,
any
this is why the 49ers have filled the entire Santa Clara County Commissioner's Board with cronies so that none of this shit ever happens.
Right. They just have all their friends. They're like, well, we're not dealing with any of this nonsense with the city now. We're just going to.
We own the city. You can't possibly call us in. It's unbelievable.
So, special teams, folks.
Yeah.
Cowboys are number one in average return distance on kickoffs. 49ers are fourth worst in return average defending kickoffs. They average 33.2 yards per kickoff return. Cowboys at 34.2.
Yeah.
So, listen, as much as the Cowboys are terrible, the 49ers could very well get cooked on special teams. Like, that's just
how much
the
is that worth? Can you get 14 points on special teams in this game if you're Dallas?
You genuinely could. I genuinely do believe there might be a special teams touchdown from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It's my other prediction. You got three Nick Bosa sacks. You got a Fred Warner or another linebacker interception. And a Cowboys touchdown either directly from special teams or immediately off of it. Also, mention punt returns. 49ers average 6.2 yards per punt return. That is second worst in the league. Cowboys, 19.2 yards
per Turpin's punt return. Awesome. Now, I will say this.
Yeah.
The concern that I would have with special teams for the Cowboys this week, all the things you listed, obviously, but they're so banged up that a lot of the guys who are playing special teams for them probably are starting now. So,
yeah, but they still did it against the Lions, even being banged up, you know?
That's true. So something to keep an eye on. Love talking special teams. Wouldn't be a Deer and Hutch show without it. It's still Anders Carlson. So, you know, there's going to be kick returns.
True. It's true. And Mitch hasn't exactly been like dominating.
Well, he has a very tight back. I love then why'd we get rid of Harvin? Why'd they get rid of our beautiful boy?
I know. What's your sicko prediction for this game?
I think that it's a laugher, legitimately. I think that the coaching discrepancy, and I'm giving benefit of the doubt here to Mike McCarthy coming off a bye. I'm giving benefit of the doubt to Mike Zimmer, who is, you know, got a great track record, and certainly Bones Fossil. I'm having a hard time understanding how the Cowboys are going to put more than 10 points on the board offensively. And I have a hard time seeing how the Niners don't average 10 points a quarter on their offensive side. And again, I feel uncomfortable with all of this because we just watched the worst film I've seen from the Niners in the Christian McCaffrey era since mid-2022. It should be noted. I just want to throw this out here before we get out of there. So the Niners traded for Christian McCaffrey. This was pre-Brock Purdy, right? So Trey Lance is already down. It's Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback. They trade for Christian McCaffrey right before that Chiefs game in 2022. They were 3-3. Now they're 3-4 against the Chiefs. After that game against the Chiefs, where the Chiefs, it should be noted, I look back, played a lot of man-to-man defense. Now Christian McCaffrey's coming in on a short week and looked pretty good, right? But that he's not integrated in the offense. From that point on, now Brock comes in, obviously, against Miami in week 13. But from that point on, the 49ers went 25-6 with Christian McCaffrey in the lineup. 25-6. That includes the Super Bowl loss. That includes the NFC Championship game loss. But 25-6, they're 3-4 without him. So I think there's been a conversation this week about, when did teams figure out the blueprint? Well, Baltimore, certainly on Christmas, showed take away the middle of the field, chaos against Brock. That's going to get him off kilter. But the blueprint was formalized the first game Christian McCaffrey played. And I would say it was even more because Kansas City went all the way in on man-to-man in that game in 2022, which is why Spagnuolo had it in the bag for the Super Bowl. And it's only since McCaffrey came in to counter all of that by being the world's best man-to-man beater that the 49ers have had success. So again, all of these things, if you point to them, and I see why the sharps are so in on the Cowboys in this game.
I
think that they're betting against the 49ers and they're betting against the number. And the Niners were favored against the Chiefs. We saw how that went.
Disagreed with that number.
I know. And I'm not going to play anywhere on the number here. One, it'd be unethical, but like two, I'm not touching this line because I think this could be one of the ugliest football games you'll ever see. And in fact, it might just be solely special teams.
And the Niners also beat themselves up. Like, you could have false starts. You could have just missed protections.
You have to have a threat. You have to feel a threat in order for those things to happen. You have to be concerned about one thing and take your eye off another. Like, the Cowboys just don't present that. Because there's no run game, you can totally sell out to stop CeeDee Lamb. Oh, no, Turpin got 4 yards. Or I'm sorry, not even Turpin. It would be probably actually a better play than going with, Rico Dowdle
and Elliott.
Oh, no, Ezekiel Elliott ran into Zach Martin's ass for the 4,000th time in his career. Like, it's not a concern. You don't have to worry about Dak Prescott running in any serious capacity. He'll get his, don't get me wrong. He'll have those slides, but he's not going to challenge a defense that way. The beauty of what Kansas City did the week before was that they knew that the 49ers had to key in on somebody, and then they were able to scheme and had just enough talent to pull it off somewhere else. It was all misdirection. Every play was look over here, check this out. And then, hey, they finally start spreading themselves out. Well, then the place that they were looking is going to attack more. You take your eye off the prize. Dallas doesn't have anybody like that on this team. CeeDee Lamb is awesome. There's a reason the man is in the slot consistently. And by the way, if Mike McCarthy wants to do something good, you take him out of the slot, in which case now he's getting jammed up by Charvarius Ward. I don't think that's going to go well for him. And now he's quitting the game halfway through DK Metcalf style. So I look at this and I just go, the 49ers are a fundamentally flawed team. They need multiple defensive linemen. They need a new outside linebacker to go along with Fred Warner, if not two. They need safety help. As much as we like Mustafa and Brown, they are still gettable if you're playing a good team. They need another corner. I mean, Yadam's fine, but he's only good in certain situations. By the way, a situation like this upcoming week where you just have guys who can run 9 routes. That's just the defense. Offensively, again, their healthiest wide receiver got shot at the end of August. That's their healthy one. You don't have a running back who is, I think Mason is really feeling all of those broken tackles from early in the year. This is kind of an Elijah Mitchell-like circumstance. Right. Offensive line is a hot mess. All of these reasons, you look at Dallas and you go, they're worse at every single one of them. So this is, it's a shame this is nationally televised, but it's a great opportunity for Brock to get some hype around him because I think he's going to have a field day.
I'm with you. My prediction, listen, you laid out all the points. I laid out all the points. Like,
what's your number?
Pretty clear. It's not one you have to dig into deep.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers are going to gut them. I think it's going to be 34-17. And one of those touchdowns for Dallas is coming off of special teams. And again, my other prediction is Nick Bosa, 3 sacks, interception from a linebacker, probably Fred Warner. It's obvious the gap in talent, coaching, and that's again to say the 49ers have been deeply unimpressive and they have a bunch of inexperienced receivers out there, so there's a chance for miscommunication and bad turnovers and false starts and other stuff where you just illegal formations where it's you just have stuff that goes wrong and it's messy and it doesn't click. But I also think Dallas can't defend the run, they can't run the ball, their defense is susceptible to play action. I think the Niners can keep it as simple as possible and just dominate them. I think Dallas is a very bad team, as bad as the Niners were last week. It's probably the toughest challenge they're going to get. And I have a very hard time, genuinely, unless the Niners turn it over in really stupid ways, then of course, I have a very hard time seeing how they lose this game.
Yeah, I got 27-13 49ers, maybe 16. Depends on if Aubrey plays or not.
Probably too high with the score, but
I'm with you. I think it's 3 touchdowns. I think they're hot messes, and I think it's a couple of field goals, and of course a field goal miss because it wouldn't be a 49ers special teams game.
Maybe it's a blocked field goal touchdown.
Yeah, and I have a hard time seeing Dallas put more than one touchdown on the board. But first quarter is going to tell us everything in this game. I'm actually kind of excited for the early goings, and I hope that that can maintain, because it's going to be like 7 o'clock. I got, you know,
it could be rough. It could be really rough.
I got a kid who's going to get me up at like 4:30 in the morning that day. And it's going to be like, oh boy, we're not going to make it all the way home.
You know, it's not rough though.
What's that?
Hanging out with Dieter and Hutch, folks.
Never, never subscribe, like, or not do whatever the hell it is you want. We'd like a
subscription. Yell into the void.
If you've made it 40 minutes with us, like, clearly you're into what we're into, and we can, you know, we're not kink shaming here. So,
or you hate it enough to listen, which is also kink shame, a kink. And again, we won't shame you for that.
We won't shame you. We're not going to, we're not going to ick your lick or in reverse. I don't know what the children say anymore. And frankly, I don't want to find out.
That's right.
I live right by a high school. The fashion choices these days are fascinating. It's like the everyone's wearing Airwalks again. You weren't even alive, Jake, when Airwalks were a thing, but I was, because I'm an old man, and this game's going to make us feel a whole lot older. Congratulations to NBC. You got your brand recognition, and you're going to put one of the worst football games I think we're going to see all year on your stations. But, you know, subscribe to Peacock. Also subscribe to this show, and we'll talk to you on Sunday night, very late Sunday night for Sunday Night Live. Looking forward to it immensely.
Appreciate you.